Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow again in thy presence this evening. We thank thee for the invitation of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank thee, O God, for the speaking voice of the Lord to the sinner. And O God, we pray tonight in the stillness of this meeting that you would come, Lord, and speak to hearts. We know, Lord, that thy word shall not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish that whereto thou dost send it. O God, tonight we pray that thy word might be a savour of life unto life, that it might penetrate deep into the sinner's heart. And those in this service, Lord, without Christ, on their way to hell itself, might realize their great need of God's salvation. They might flee to Christ and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Oh God, we're so conscious that the Bible tells us we're all sinners and our sin is bringing us down to a lost eternity. But we thank thee for the gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross and rose again so that men might have their sins forgiven and prepare for heaven. Oh God, we pray tonight that there might be those who will come and prepare for heaven. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn over in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. This morning we considered Acts chapter 6 and we were considering Stephen. And this morning we looked at Stephen, the man of God. This evening I want to draw your attention to Stephen, the messenger of God. In Acts chapter 7, after Stephen was brought before the Jewish council and falsely accused, Stephen delivers a wonderful message to all those that were gathered. And in this chapter we have this wonderful message that Stephen declared. Here as Stephen stands before his accusers, he rehearses the whole history of the children of Israel from the days of Abraham to the coming of the Messiah. Now, unfortunately, as we're going to find out tonight, the Jewish council and all who were gathered that day rejected Stephen's message and ended up stoning God's servant to death. Of course, making Stephen the first martyr of the New Testament church, and we'll say more about that in our next study. But here in this portion of Scripture, we see the tremendous message that Stephen delivered to the people that day, to the council. And I pray this evening as we come to consider this message and Stephen preaching it, that the Lord might speak to all of our hearts, but especially those in the meeting tonight who are not saved. There's a message here for you again this evening. And we thank God for you being in the meeting tonight, for the Lord so arranging your circumstances so that you're found in God's house this evening. And that's not by coincidence. I believe the Lord has brought you here tonight to hear another message from his word. And of course, your greatest need this evening is to have your sins forgiven and to make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will come and seek the Lord, find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. First of all, I want you to notice here that Stephen based his message on the Scriptures. Now, we haven't got the time to read this whole chapter tonight, but you take the time when you go home to read Acts chapter 7. And you will find that as you read down this chapter and as you read down this message that Stephen delivered, that it was a message that was based upon the Old Testament Scriptures. Indeed, everything that Stephen said in his message in Acts chapter 7 was based upon the Word of God, upon the Scriptures of truth. Stephen here in his message basically gives a history
of the Old Testament scriptures from Abraham to King Solomon and to the coming of the Messiah. Verses 2 to 8 of Acts chapter 7, he tells of the life of Abraham. In verses 9 to 19, he tells of the life of Joseph. In verses 20 to 44, he tells of the life of Moses. In verses 45 and 46, he tells of the life of Joshua and King David. And from verses 47 to 50, in his sermon, he tells of the life of Solomon. Stephen here gives a detailed account of Israel's history. It was a scriptural message. Stephen here was preaching the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And of course, men and women, every time we get up behind the sacred desk, we're here to preach the Word of God. We're not here to preach the ideas and thoughts and philosophy of men, but rather our duty, our responsibility is to preach the truth, God's truth. Every time we get up in this pulpit, it is of a necessity to preach God's word. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our message, child of God, must always be based upon the word of God, because it is the entrance of God's word that giveth light. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." It is only when we as God's servants take the message of the Bible and declare the full counsel of God that the Lord will bless his truth. And while the message of the gospel will offend, it also will bring life through the Spirit. And of course, before we end the message tonight, we're going to see that as Stephen preached, his message offended those who were listening to it because they took offense. But thank God, we have also seen in these studies in the book of Acts that as the word of God has gone forth, many have responded positively to the preaching of the scriptures, and they have been saved by the grace of God. The message must be always based, however, on the scriptures. Of course, Stephen preached Christ to the people. All that Stephen said was pointing men to Christ the Messiah. And Stephen condemned them for rejecting Christ the Messiah. And we'll say more about that just in a moment. But when you study this sermon and read down Acts chapter 7 here, you can see clearly that everything that Stephen was saying was bringing men to the Savior, bringing men to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And of course, in all our preaching, in all our teaching, every time we get up behind the sacred desk, we must bring men to Christ. We must point men to the Savior. My friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, I want to say to you tonight that there's only one message whereby you can be redeemed and saved for all eternity, and that is the message of Christ. Now, none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Indeed, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the message of the Bible. Christ is the essence of our message. And it was the essence of Stephen's message that day. And if you take the time to read down Acts chapter 7, you will see that to be the case. The Lord Jesus is the Messiah. And that's what Stephen was pointing out to the council and to the people that day as he stood and declared the unsearchable riches of Christ. He was pointing men to the Lord Jesus. My friend, you need to get to Christ. If you're ever going to be saved and get into heaven, you need to come to the Lord Jesus. If you're ever going to escape hell, you must come and trust him as your own and personal Redeemer, because he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the only Redeemer. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say this himself in John chapter 4 to the woman of Samaria? We have those wonderful words recorded in verses 25 and 26. The woman saith unto Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The Bible clearly teaches, and the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this earth, clearly taught that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And praise God tonight, that's the wonderful message that we have to declare to you this evening, especially those of you who are found in this meeting without Christ, without God, and without hope in this world. Praise God, there is a Savior. There's only one, but he is sufficient. He is the all-sufficient Savior. And tonight, if you come in repentance and faith to him, he will forgive you for your sin. And tonight you can prepare your journey to heaven by coming and trusting him as your Redeemer. Oh, Stephen's message was based upon the Scriptures. And as he expounded the Scriptures, he pointed men to Christ. And he declared to the council and to all that were gathered that day that the Lord Jesus, the one that they had nailed upon a cross, was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. There's something else I want you to notice about Stephen's message here. Stephen preached his message in the power of the Holy Ghost. I wonder, did you notice that? Take a look with me there at verse 10 of chapter 6. Look what it says. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake, by which Stephen spake. We noticed this morning that Stephen was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, when Stephen stood up and preached the message that God laid upon his heart, he declared that message in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We noticed that this morning, that Stephen was a man who lived and who served the Lord with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, upon him. And we can see it here again as he stands up to preach God's word. Look what it says in verse 10 of chapter 6. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Verse 10 literally means that Stephen spoke words of inspiration. In other words, God was speaking through Stephen. And such was the power of God upon him that the ungodly, educated Jewish council could not withstand Stephen's wisdom and power. And that's why the council set up false witnesses against Stephen and accused him of blasphemy, because they could not defeat him in debate. Why? Because God, the Holy Ghost, was working through this man of God. And of course, child of God, in order for us to faithfully declare the message of the gospel, we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. In order for you and I to have victory in our Christian lives and strength to serve the Lord, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, this truth is set forth over and over again in the book of Acts, and we have seen it even in these studies so far. It's so important as we seek to serve the Lord that we know the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Stephen was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and as he preached the word of God, God the Holy Spirit had anointed him and was upon him, and he preached with power, such power that even those who had accused him falsely could not resist him, because the Lord's might was upon him. But there's something else I want you to notice. And this is very important, and especially if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully here, because this is a very interesting point, I believe. Stephen applied his message to the hearts of his hearers. After Stephen preached this sermon in Acts chapter 7, he applied it to the hearts of all those that he was preaching to. Look with me at chapter 7, verses 51 to 53. And I want you to underline these words especially. Look what he says. Now remember that he's saying these words, he's speaking these words after he preached the sermon, after he gave a history of the children of Israel, and after he pointed them to Christ. He said this, "Ye stiff-necked," verse 51, "and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it." Now, those were strong words. The thrust of Stephen's message was the rejection of Israel to the message that Christ was the Messiah. Indeed, the basic theme of his message was that Israel, who had been so wonderfully privileged, was guilty of rejection. Rejecting the Son of God, rejecting Christ as the Messiah. And as Stephen applied his message to the hearts of the people, he showed them that the one whom they had nailed to a cross was the very one that Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David all said would come to be the Savior and the Messiah of Israel. However, instead of receiving him with joy, the nation of Israel, and now these ones that were in the council, had rejected him by murdering him and nailing him to a cross. And you can see here how Stephen applies the word of God to their circumstances. Men and women, the preacher must apply the word of God. The truth is, the preacher never gets into real trouble until he starts applying the message, until he begins making the message personal. But you know, the truth is, the message of God's word is personal. It's not just a general message, but it is a personal message. And the truth is that when you study the preachers of the Bible, they all applied the word of God to the hearts of the people, to the circumstances that they were in. Let me just show you this in a number of places. Very quickly, turn over to Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, you have one of the great sermons that the Apostle Paul preached. And he preached this sermon on Mars Hill. We're not going to read the whole sermon, the whole message, but you can take the time to read it when you go home. But I want you to see how Paul, after he preached the message, he applied it to those that were listening to the message. Look at verse 22 there of Acts 17. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens." Now he's talking about he's speaking to the men of Athens, and he's applying it here to them. "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore," listen to it, "ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." There you can see how Paul, as he preaches the gospel, applies it to those who's listening to him. He applies it personally. Take a look again at Acts chapter 26. And you'll see Paul applying his message again. This time he's preaching to King Agrippa. And of course, again, we haven't the time to read the whole sermon, the whole message that he preached on that occasion, but read down it yourself in that chapter. I'm sure it's familiar to many. But I want you to see how he applied the message. Look what it says in verse 27. "King Agrippa," so he calls Agrippa by name. That's who he's standing before. But of course, there's others there. There was a great host there that day. But he singles out Agrippa, and he calls him by name, and he says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Look at verse 29. "And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." But you can see there how the preacher again is applying the word of God to the hearts of his hearers. My friend, you're in this meeting tonight. You're not saved. I need to apply the word of God to your heart
I need to speak to you as an individual. We're not just here to preach a general message, but we're here to speak to your heart and to your soul. The Word of God does not just say that men are sinners. The Word of God says that you are a sinner. The Word of God does not just say that men will die and go to hell. The Word of God says that if you die in your sin, you will go to hell. The Bible does not just exhort men to come to Christ. The Bible exhorts you to come to Christ. The Bible does not just say that men generally need to be saved and trust Christ alone for salvation, but the Bible tells us that you, my friend, need to be saved. You need to trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. And I pray this evening that you will realize that it's not just a general message, but that it is a personal message to you this evening. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and apply it to your heart and to your soul. But you can see here what Stephen is doing. You can see here what Paul is doing. And indeed, if you study all the prophets in the Old Testament and all the preachers in the New Testament, you will find this out to be the case, that every time they delivered the message of God, although they may have started out with a general theme, it soon developed into a personal application to those that were gathered. And my friend, if the message of the gospel does not, if it does not speak to your heart, if the preacher does not apply it to your heart and to your soul and to your life, then what's the point in meeting tonight? What's the point in gathering in a gospel service like this? What's the point in opening up the Word of God at all if it's only a history book? Now, it is a history book, and thank God the history in it is fact, clear fact. But the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to our hearts and to our souls. And those of you who are here tonight, you're not saved and born again of the Spirit of God. God's message is for you. Because someday you will die. And someday you will stand before God. And someday when you stand before God, you, my friend, you, not the person sitting beside you, you will give an account to God of how you responded to the preached word. You will give an account to the Lord. And on that day of judgment, you will stand alone before your Creator. And my friend, God on that day will ask you, what did you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And what will you say? You will have to hang your head in shame. And you'll have to confess, I rejected him as my Savior and as my Lord and as my God. Now you might want to put it out of your mind. You might want to get out of this meeting tonight. You might want to get back into the pub again. You might want to get among your friends again. You might want to forget about the gospel and about the Bible and about what God says in his truth. And you might do a good job of blocking it out of your mind until the day of judgment. But on the day of judgment, it will all come flooding back. Because on that day, the books will be opened. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And God will judge every man out of the things that are written in that book of life. And whosoever will not be found in that book of life, the Bible says, will be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. Oh, here we have Stephen, and he's preaching a sermon, and he begins by rehearsing the history of Israel, but then he gets personal.
And he speaks about the prophets preaching the truth and the people not listening. And he speaks about these men in the council taking the Son of God and nailing him to the cross. And he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised. In other words, they wouldn't listen. That's what he was saying to them, you see. Not only would your fathers not listen to the prophets, but you will not listen either. You see, that's the fourth thing I want you to notice here. Take a look at verse 54 and 57, and you'll see that Stephen's message was rejected on this occasion. Now, rejecting the message was nothing new, and Stephen, of course, already had pointed that out to them. But they had an opportunity to turn and repent. Even as Stephen was preaching to them on this occasion, they had an opportunity to say, listen, we have done wrong. We have sinned against God. And we'll repent and believe on Christ as the Messiah and as the Savior. But they didn't do that. They rejected it. Look what it says in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth, verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. In other words, they rejected Stephen's message. We know what happened here, and we're going to look at it in our next study. They stoned him to death. Such was their hatred of Christ and the message of Christ. Such was their hatred of the gospel and God's servants that they took Stephen and they murdered him, stoned him to death. During our studies in the book of Acts, we have seen many who, after hearing the message of the gospel, they came to Christ and were saved. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 being saved a few days later. They heard the same message that Peter preached, and it was applied the same way. And they were told that they were sinners who needed to repent and be saved. And on those occasions they did repent, and the Lord forgave them and saved them and gave them eternal life. But on this occasion, instead of trusting the Lord and repenting of their sin, they rejected. These people in Acts chapter 7, instead of receiving the message with gladness, rejected the message with hearts full of hatred. Look again at verse 51. Underline the words, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Stiff-necked, what does that mean? It means unwilling to hear, unwilling to listen. It means to harden the heart. Oh, my friend, I wonder tonight, as you've sat under the sound of the gospel again this evening, are you still hardening your neck? Are you still refusing to listen? Are you still unwilling to hear? Are you still saying no and stubbornly saying no to the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life? That word, that phrase, uncircumcised in heart, do you know what that means? It means unregenerate. It means unregenerate. These people were unregenerate. Resist the Holy Ghost. That phrase means refusing the instruction of the Word of God. My friend, every time someone rejects the gospel, what they're doing is they're refusing the instruction of the Word of God. And here were people in Acts chapter 7, and they refused the instruction of the Word of God. The truth is that all men do not come to the saving knowledge of the truth. This is what we're seeing here. Up until now, you, my friend, have rejected Christ. But I wonder, what will you do tonight? What will you do tonight? As we have already pointed out, Stephen wasn't preaching a different message than Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He was not preaching a different message than Paul preached. And yet, as the Word of God went forth, and as the message was applied, personally applied to the sinner's heart, there were different reactions. You see, the truth is, the gospel It's a savour of life unto life, but it's also a savour of death unto death. And although when the gospel goes forth, there will be hearts that will be softened, and those souls that's hearts are softened, they will come and trust Christ as their Savior, there will also be hearts that will be hardened. And instead of yielding to the Word of God, they will resist the Word of God. And that's what was happening here in Acts chapter 7. My friend, is that what is happening in your heart? Instead of the gospel softening your heart, as the gospel goes forth, that your heart is getting harder and you're resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Remember this, young person, older person, whoever you are tonight, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There comes a time, we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. And these men in Acts chapter 7, they were sealing their destiny for hell. Now, they lived, no doubt, many years after this incident in Acts chapter 7. But this is strong language here. This is very strong language. The Bible says there's a sin that cannot be forgiven man, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is rejecting Christ as Savior for the last time when the Holy Spirit is driving upon your soul, seeking to draw you to the Savior. And that's why you need to be careful, continually saying no to God's free offer of salvation. That's why you need to be careful. Remember many years ago, Dr. Paisley told the story of a gospel mission that he conducted when he was a young man. And every night, people were getting saved, coming to the Lord. But in that mission, there was a young girl. And it was evident that she was under conviction of sin. Night by night, she went out of the meeting unsaved, with tears in her eyes. On the last night of the mission, she went out unsaved. Dr. Paisley told the story of how, although she was pleaded with to make her peace with God, she refused. And she never came back into a gospel meeting again after that mission was over. And to the best of his ability, he never heard of her coming to Christ. My friend, you can't keep on saying no to God's free offer of salvation. You can't keep on resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit and hardening your heart and get away with it. It can't be done. The same sun that softens the wax hardens the clay. It hardens the clay. That's why when the Lord is speaking to you and striving with you, that you need to come to Christ. That's why when you're soft, your heart is soft and tender, that you need to turn from your sin and seek the Lord. Because the day will come when your heart will be so hard that you'll be able to come into a gospel meeting, listen to the gospel, and it have no effect on you whatsoever. The gospel message and the judgment to come and hell's fire, it'll just run off you like water off a duck's back. That's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Oh, I exhort you tonight, only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Would you come tonight? Would you trust him now? Let us all pray.